Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podomation update number 11. So obviously I'm doing lots of podcasts, and on one stream I'm trying to actually increase the rate and range of podcasting. Not necessarily for the benefit of listeners, but getting up to over an hour of podcasting, that's probably too long for a drive, maybe long enough for a drive, you never know. I doubt that people would listen to it for that long. Obviously I've got cognitive things to get up and exceed a target and then develop across it, rather than just reach up to the target and try and develop skills. Satellite skills with it. And so what's happening? Obviously, to get the rate of podcasting up, I have it such that you put the dictaphone into the computer, and then it automatically reads the dictaphone, what it has is it has all previous things, so recordings of what I've typed in. So I'll just type in podcast, or just click on podcast 10, come up, and I'll just modify a few numbers at least, so I can edit that very quickly. And then if I want to, I can press listen to it, or I can press process, and it takes a certain amount of time to actually convert the MP3 file, package it, add images to it, upload it to the internet. And I have it sitting on a program which is feeding into an FTP program. So what happens there is that it constructs it, and when it's all finished, it just plops in the file into the reading mirrored directory. And previously I had an effort that as it was building it, it would start to FTP and crash. So that's cleaned up. And then when that's done, it emails off to the blog. Unfortunately, I still have to open the blog and do some tagging. I don't have to do that in, it's WordPress. I don't have to do any of that in WordPress. It's all automatically all done. So I've got it automatically publishing into Blogger and WordPress. I haven't really looked at the WordPress. I've just got it going up into WordPress. It's not, I don't know, I find WordPress a little bit more annoying to operate. I haven't been really looking at connecting WordPress to a feed, because there seems to be that people put their hands out asking for money at that stage, and when I can just write my own RSS code for it, so it seems a bit of an overkill for it. So that's done in the Blogger. That's automatically done, and that's recorded. So if I do podcast 11, it will be ready. I just have to press a button, and I can just put in podcast 12, Podomation 12. That's where I discuss the actual technology involved in it. And so the overall thing is, as you're producing so many podcasts of different programs and different things which come out in the series, you may as well, and it has assets associated with it for education, you may as well put it into an app. So I've actually developed an app which you can link to. It's a web app, and so essentially if it's getting 100, 200 pages, it produces a 200 page website and uploads that 200 page website. So each button you press, there's 200 buttons, but you can't see them all. They reveal themselves as you go down, get you to the podcast. So if you double click or right click on the icon, you can download or save that podcast. Now, I'm going to discuss a little bit of the automation of that, but one of the things I have done is I've described how you do it to someone, and then I've actually had to go and spend half an hour just physically showing how it's done, and I've shown it to their kid, and just I don't know. It's a slow start. You know, this is one Aussie at a time. I have to show how to use the app. So the app is basically a series of mobile phone gallery of apps or app buttons that you press, and as you press one, it reveals more as you go down and reads the conversations to go forward. And so this, essentially all podcasts I do store on here. Mainly I've done Podomation. The actual writing of the app, the actual app writes itself, the 200 pages in, it's looking at 5 seconds to produce it, but then it takes about 5 minutes to upload that through this dreadfully slow data link up to the site, and when it's uploaded, anyone who's got the URL will have it automatically updated. So if you have it, it's almost like an RSS feed, but a little bit more sophisticated, so you can press on it and it will alert you if there's you can see it live. So you have one link and that link is of a modifying web page. It looks like a link to BBC News. It's the same link there, but it's the content's increasing. So you have something, these several things. You produce, say, a series of podcasts, molecular tours, or whatever it is. It's got a generic type of name with a numbering. And so what I've done so far is each podcast produced, the production writes into a database file or basic file, which basically is the name and basic assets you need to build the app. And so there's this big long file, hundreds of entries, and I've modified the free text retrieval so it can just pull out all things like Japan's greatest victory. I put JGV and it'll pull them automatically out. Now, it's unfortunately, I've got episode 1 to 30 of them, and it's only developed at 16, but there's no, so you only get 16 to 30 coming up. And this is, I just type in Japan's GV, and it will pull up everything like that. I accept them all, nominate how it will do the tile code, and then after it does that, I then ask it to build, and so it builds a shadow app. It's the app, and it's a new app written where this addition is okay, it's accepted, and if it is, I have a look at it, if it's okay, I then press burn, and it burns the new app, and then unfortunately, because I've written executable, so I can't send commands to the executable, I say publish to the web, and then it's up to the web. So obviously, part of the things is to actually work out which app it goes to. I open up the particular app I want to write into. So I have, you know, many, many different apps, but in this case, it's the podcast app. I open up the podcast app, say where I want to put the data on it, click where I want to put the data on it. Now, because each page, each where I click is I've got a URL, I just copy the URL into the file, and then it works out, well, I have to put the subsequent issues underneath it. So, say if I've got a new scientist and I've published, say, one, well, not one, I've just said, I've just created an app for the 4th one of August, or something like that. I just click on that tile, copy the URL of that tile across, and then the software will then automatically pick up all podcasts appropriate for that day and then publish it in that app. So it's all hands-free. It's taken a little while. You'll see it occasionally, as it goes on, you'll see more and more assets added to it. So on there, besides the MP4, which you press and can play, there's also the MP3, which you can download, the quiz and word search. So again, the quiz and word search, it's just a bit of extra time for writing questions for it, and it goes across. So that's where I'm up to into podcasting. It's just a real, I spent the last, 15 minutes on a real grind. It's just, which I will describe, but first I had to, convert the free tricks retrieval such that you can write, say if you want to search the letter E, the number 7, and the word bat for some reason, and it's E, space, E, comma, space, you know, you're thinking about it, you put a few spaces either side. Similarly you do a Google search, if you want to Google search two terms, you can put a comma between them. So that goes into the string. So a string is any text, is called a string. And so that string, I go through the following sequence. And so this is a fairly straightforward thing, but a lot to bash on it to get it absolutely right. And so that took me half an hour, but I had to get the string, convert the string to a database array with, spreadsheet array with the delimiters being commas. So the E, bat, other things will be be words. And then I had to strip the blank spaces fore and aft, and in advanced lab view there's VR you can get off the internet, copy of the internet, and it just does blank spaces, but I had to do it myself. So it goes through letter at a time. What it does is it searches for all instances of a space. And as it just builds up an array of all the numbers of all the space numbers. So if there's 3 or 4 blank spaces at the start, a few letters of blank space, and then another word, what it'll do is it'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, and you may have a few blank spaces at the end, 11, 10, something like that. And that'll be an array there. And so what it does is that it then goes through counting, and this array, if the array gives the array number equals the iteration number, so if the first time through it's array 1, it will remove it. If it's array 2, it will remove it. Array 3, it will remove it. Array 4, it will remove it. Then the fifth time round, the next one is 7, so it won't remove it after that. So it removes all the blank spaces there. So that's a little thing. And then it passes out the string with the blank spaces removed. And then I reverse the string and then pump through the same thing again. The reverse string then is the letters back to front, so the free spaces go, the post spaces go to the front, the string goes through and then removes it there, then reorders the array, then reorders the string, then builds it back into an array, and then progressively goes through every file or entry, and then checks for the first one, then checks for the second one, and each time it's anding, have I found one? And if it finds all those ones, all those letters, it will be a positive, and then it will record the index of that one, and then feed it out and give you a condensed list going across. Then it will parse that number on 3 or 4 different ways of getting you a tile number. So tiles are limited, sort of a slightly extended periodic table. It's got 3 letters allowable per tile you can fit in. So this is just cue your working memory, so to help your working memory remember where to go through this type of stuff, go through the tiles as you go through. And then it will, then if you say, we'll build that, it will then look at the URL, look at the all the files, and then just build, say if you've got 10 files, it will build 40 application switches and just put of the actual MP4, MP3, quiz and beyond going across, build it. I'm still a bit cautious. I like to inspect it first, then I say burn, and then we're up to the next stage of recording the data of how you built that, and that is pars. All the controls are put into an array of strings, and strings put into an array, and that array is then bolted on the back of a table, which is like a 1D array is bolted up into the 2D array as you go across. And like annoying thing, this is where I spent a quarter of an hour going through trying to actually, I don't believe anyone would possibly listen to this except the LabVIEW programmer. I've just been working to actually get that under control. Have this bounce thing. It's like I say on a particular case of update the data. I just say update the data as command. It goes through, it does it once, and always does it twice. So in order to get it to not do it, I've had to put a special case to say don't repeat it. And then even then I have to have it times, and then I had to write it into one table. Just for some reason it's bouncing, I can't see it. So bouncing means that you send a command and it just goes off and does the command twice. This is one of the things where you're building basically robot control. So it's basically a robot panel. It's all based on robot control, like a robot control panel in a factory. So like pressing a button and it squirts maple syrup on a pancake before it gets served. What happens is you press the button once and there's a squirt, and then it has a second squirt, and just to try and stop it to do that, and it's just, that you're getting tired. You cannot work out why the heck it's doing it a second time. You put in some probes. So eventually and what happens, you always build up ahead and then you try and unbuild. And I've actually built and finally got it to do it after 10-15 minutes. And after doing all that, you finally got to do it, and then you have to undo it. See what you can take away before, to see if you can fault. And of the three solutions I've had to cobble down, it requires all three solutions to stop it double tapping. So there's no rational reason for it, no rational reason I can do it. So what will happen is when it goes, and so this is all bound with comments. So now I can just say, record, say, New Scientist or a newspaper article, a book article, something like that. Then I just press record it, and then go on to this app build, press book. Press book. Press build and burn, and then it's that and done. It's all you have to do to get, say you might do 20 podcasts. The 20 podcasts go up there automatically, which is an easy thing. Now the issue is training people to actually use these apps to go across. And is there sort of a magic way of doing it? How can it be done? Students are really easy to program, that they will learn everything, but the general public is, that's a bit of a mish. Like, they can't even open up a URL. You have to actually put it in their favourites up in their bar to press it. And you don't see it going across. I'll just do it one thing at a time. just educating one person at a time, emailing people. You send an email to people. You don't do it too much. You just don't get under the nose. It would be annoying. Say, oh, here's something. And occasionally some of the really bright professors I've sent it to, they say, oh, absolutely fascinating, but it still hasn't caught. But nonetheless, is that you've got to get up there and actually produce the stuff. So thank goodness it only takes a few seconds to actually get together from scratch, from blank, to actually publish the website. And previously there was a data leak, which I've never found this data leak. So I don't know if people know this, that if you've got four undo loops there and they're just running in the background, ready for, so it's unlike it is a conventional program, but it's a bit unlike it. Okay, it's different from PHP, which is server-side programming, which is a command comes in, it wakes up and does it. This is it's fully robotic programming, so it's sitting there as if it's in a factory, ready at any point in time to monitor a switch when it goes on, or it's reading things continuously. So there's this continuous stuff. This is with LabVIEW programming. So it does suffer the problem of data leaks, and so with the experience, you know, to actually put an envelope around something and watch the memory requirement of that, see if there is any data leaks. And I haven't been able to quarantine what's happening that's causing the data leak. And it's sort of like you do it in a developmental way, where you do it such that you can fault check and you go ahead. So that's where we're up to with it. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm so many months ahead that where I should actually be. It's hard to know, but it's the fundamental thing of doing several podcasts on a topic, and then hit the topic, publish the topic. It's within seconds, and it really does remove the stress for it. And I'll have to do probably another podcast today, where I'm actually stressing my memory, trying to remember two or three molecules and something else, and podcasting on that in one stop. I don't know how it would go for actually listening. Thanks a lot for listening. That's a 22-minute podcast on Podomation. Thank you. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.